All right,
it's
that looks
good.
Thing. Exactly. One more. 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, that looks good.
All right.
Don't touch anything. And if we run out of battery, we run out of battery. We'll see how it goes. It really is a nice day. That's we're gonna be hot. You have water, right?
Some. Yeah.
Okay, good. Let's
there
go
some
that
taps
direction.
Along the way, I think.
Let's go this direction. We're gonna hit the tunnel straight up.
All right.
Ah, nice. We actually fixed Blossom on the pirate ship. I think this time. I think I managed to convince Hazard to transform Blossom into a protocol. I just want to have the same.
Oh, just
the same.
Hash.
Exactly the same. Like it. Nostar is genius because it's literally like N events and N profiles and so on. It's just the ID. It just says Nostar colon and the ID.
Yeah.
And so the identifier is independent from where the thing is. Like it's basically content addressing in some sense. And Blossom is the same idea. And I don't know why. I think because Fiat Jeff hated it. We never went the because it's if clients don't implement it, it just looks weird.
Yeah.
But it's true for Nostar clients as well. You know
what
I mean? Sometimes if you link to a different profile in your profile description, some clients don't resolve it and it looks weird. You know what I mean?
At least they have an incentive to fix it.
And so, but what we kind of need on the Blossom side is you want to have self-healing links, and the only way to do it is to go this route.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to be very client-heavy and so on. I think I convinced Hazard to go ahead, and we found a way to stepwise do it so that it's not terrible. And so on. Let's see.
I'll probably lose most of the pictures that I've posted so far.
No. Because we'll also build a health monitor thing. Like a pacemaker, pacemaker.
Yeah, the heartbeat.
That goes over all your notes and all your blobs and everything and just spreads it everywhere. It's a similar idea to actually what the Mutiny guys built in the beginning with the Blaster Relay. Similar idea, just more tactful. Where it's just like, my relay set changes over time, I want to rebroadcast it over time. My Blossom servers change over time, I want to have like a little tool that monitors stuff and re-uploads it and so on.
Yeah,
keeps
least,
things alive for
at least
me.
Have it local.
Yeah, exactly. Local was also a big topic. Just local relays, local Blossom servers, using local relays as local caches, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Go local first.
Yeah, it frustrates me a little bit that not all apps, but if you you get on an airplane, you go offline. Nostra should work.
Oh,
but then I only
just
see
wait it. Until you see my demo. Yeah.
Even though I have a yes, nice. And even though I have a local relay, only my own messages end up in there with most clients.
Yeah.
Like they post to your local relay, but they don't like gobble up everything and just put it there.
Yeah.
And I got like 128 gigs to spare.
Yeah,
so I mean
the phones are powerful and things are powerful. Let me do one little thing because I still get shit for the audio quality. So I think if we do it like this, and you just turn to me always, then we'll be better. Maybe.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I made it worse. I probably made it worse. There is a constant case of Verschlimmbessern. If you
Verschlimmbessern.
It's the perfect German word. It's like you try to make something better, but you actually make it worse. So the act of improve worsening.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But I feel like we should reclaim localhost.
Yeah. Yeah.
That should be one of the goals. Hopefully. That just, like you say, all the Nostar apps, even most of the functionality should just work in airplane mode. It should work when you're offline.
Yeah.
Because even if you send SAPs and those kind of things, if it's not SAPs, you can still send them. You can still, like, depending on how you do things, you can also, you know, again, like, there's various ways to do this so that it still works. And you build up a queue of actions, and once you're online again, it just gets all broadcasted and everything happens.
Yeah, and I think no matter what the all the apps should just stream everything to your local relay.
100%.
And then the relay will filter and like dump everything after 48 hours or something.
Citrine has
it
on the roadmap. So Citrine, the Android on phone relay, the local Android relay. It's one of the next things I hope that they're going to build out where automatically rebroadcast local events once you're online again.
Perfect.
So once we have that, then we have everything kind of for free in some sense. We just need to lean into the local relay stuff more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really exciting for me, because that for me was the vision of Noster.
Yeah.
In the first place, like stuff which should just work offline as well, in some sense.
Yeah.
Like on a local area network, like on a LAN, it should just work all the same.
Yeah.
Kind of the toll gate idea, right? Where it's just, you don't need to be bridged to the wider internet necessarily.
Yeah. You shouldn't even be aware that you're quote unquote offline.
Exactly. If as long as you have a relay you can talk to, it doesn't matter if it's online or not, you should be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But tell me more about Tollgate and the current state. I'm a bit out of the loop.
Yeah. So, well, just a couple of days ago during BTC++, we released v0.2.0, which is the version that we've been working on for way too long on getting router-to-router payments in.
All right.
So we finally
have... So Tollgate's paying for other Tollgates?
Yes. very experimental. We have like two modes. The default is like you're just connecting to one gateway and that's it. And if it is a tollgate, you start paying that. And if you're the fiat gateway, like the you know, connected to your ISP, then it just works. And then the experimental one is where it searches for other tollgates around and we'll start paying for those.
All right. Nice. Nice. How was BTC++ for you?
Good.
Yeah.
I come from the Noster side. I definitely feel like I know nothing about Bitcoin.
You come from the left side of the bell curve,
and
you met the right side of the bell curve.
Yes,
the lightning gaps. Okay. But how was the response to Tollgate and the stuff that you guys have been working on in general?
Good. Yeah, most people seem to have heard about it by now.
Which interesting. Is like a huge, wow.
I think it's a huge compliment. Like we've been going to the conferences this summer and.
That's
really great, yeah.
Yeah. What was the main criticism, if any?
Some people just hate eCash.
Well, those people can't be helped.
I think why no Lightning payments in there? I think we have some valid reasons.
Because you have to be offline, online always.
Yeah. But of course, we can support it and like minting eCash on the fly if you're on your phone, and that's all coming.
Yeah,
but that's optimizing for a captive portal experience, which I don't want to be doing long term because captive portals are really shitty tech in general. So we just need everything to happen in the background, and no one should ever see that it's eCash being used.
Yeah, even. I see. Yeah. What else did you see that kind of excited you, if anything? I mean, if it's mostly Lightning developments, and it's probably technical protocol level stuff that flies over everyone's head. But anything that stood out?
Well, I was surprised still how much talk there was about Cashew.
All right, good.
And a bunch of the Cashew devs were there, and they're working on some really exciting stuff, like CDK.
Yeah.
Making it easy also for us to, you know, to use Cashew without having to manage wallets.
Yeah.
Like I do now, because for the Tollgate implementation, we use Golang.
Yeah.
And there was a library, but it didn't support offline payments because when the software starts, it reaches out to the mint immediately.
Yeah.
So I had a very hacky version of trying to make it work offline.
Tell me more about the little wallet, Wally.
Yes.
tell me more about that. I managed to compile it. I managed to run it. I didn't start building on top of it yet because I was trying to find a specification and there was none.
Yeah.
And so my agents got confused very quickly. But tell me more about it.
Specification is coming. So Wally came out last week from a conversation. Ongoing conversation from last week's with Paul, and we were talking about it's so difficult to get started with as a dev and as a user to use any app that uses eCash because you need to, from the dev perspective, you need to build a wallet, have receiving and sending capabilities, while all you want is just send a payment. So we wanted something that would potentially solve for that.
Yeah.
And from the user perspective as well, it's like you don't want to have to deposit money everywhere. It should just take it from wherever your wallet is.
Yeah, I mean, Pablo tried to do that with NIP61, right? And build it right into NDK so that every app that uses NDK can do that. And you just get your eCash balance from the cloud. That was kind of the first try at that. And your approach now is basically to do the same, if I understood it correctly, please correct me if I'm wrong, but do the same, but do it in a similar way how Nostra Wallet Connect does it, but for eCash, like for Cashew.
Yeah, and then have...
like Cashew Wallet Connect.
Exactly, and then have the wallet run local instead of, you know, like you have at the Lightning node, you need to run it somewhere in a server, which you still can do, but the idea is it all works local. So I will hit a button in my... whatever web app I happen to have opened.
And if you have mini bits running on your device or something, the wallet
or
Wally in your case. Yeah, that's the
Wally will pop open for a connection. So there's some logic in like doing it with connecting with localhost.
Yeah.
And then there's just very little user friction on just making a payment to an app for
Awesome. No, I think that's definitely the way to go. I mean, that's where everything is gravitating to as well. We mentioned Citrine before, like a local signer. We mentioned something else. What did I mention? I mentioned the... was it Citrine? Was it Amber? I'm mixing things
Amber
up.
Amber is the signer.
Amber is the signer. Citrine is the local relay.
Yeah.
Everything is... there's too much stuff. There's too many things and too much stuff in my head.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's in both cases, that's how it should work. Like... With zero configuration, basically, you should just, like, if there is a local relay, use my local relay.
Yeah, that's what we want to do with Wally.
And the same with the signer. If there is a local signer, use the local signer. If I have a signer installed, use that. If not, like, do the, you know, NSEC bunker thing, whatever, like, those kind of things. And you just want to have these little components that are special purpose, that do one thing and do it really well, and make it super easy, like frictionless, to connect them.
Yeah.
That's the idea, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, Wally, the start of it was I created a basically proof of concept to autopay for toll gates on Android. I mean, repurposed the same app to become Wally, and it's desktop first now, but it's does compile for Android, I think.
Well, Claude tells me it compiles for Android.
Yeah.
Of course it compiles for Android.
But I mean, all the primitives are there and we can do it. And it kind of grows into, okay, let's make it a wallet first. And then the auto pay for tollgate is like a nice add-on. And then there's the guy behind OTRTA. He put it in to pay for LLM.
Nice.
Using the Cashew Wallet Connect. And we can add other basic stuff like a very simple relay, very simple Blossom server, and maybe a simple signer that's very bare bones. And then if you want anything more specialized, you can like swap it out for whatever you have.
Awesome.
But I think it would be nice to at least have one app where it's like, if you install Wally, you're good to go with everything Nostr and have
interesting.
Have the basics.
That's the vision? Okay. I have a similar vision, but for, you know, Start9, Umbrella, those kind of things, just a one-click install. I want to have a relay, I want to have a Blossom server, I want to have a Mint, I want to have like the health pacemaker thing that we talked about that takes care of my nodes and rebroadcasts them as appropriate and takes care of my blobs and makes
but
sure
I think
they're...
that applies to most more to developers than end users.
Power users, I would
power
say.
Power users,
I don't see myself as a developer, I see myself as a power user, basically.
Power user,
Yeah.
But I think... it's probably still too
far
of an aim. For
but we have a bunch of people that would actually install that and run that on their Start9s and on their Umbrellas. Yeah. Like there's lots of
it
node runners and there's
easier.
lots of plebs that have those little dedicated machines that do stuff. And you actually have like those are capable machines, like lots of storage, those kind of things. But for what you want to have is a similar thing on the phone. So you want to provide a wallet. You want to provide. Like everything you just listed, like a signer and everything local on device.
Yeah, and they don't have to be very good. You know, if you want a better relay, you should be able to disable it and just proxy it to Citrine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then for every web app, there is a default port on the computer that you can reach to talk to this thing, like to connect to Cashew Wallet Connect, which is our rebrand of... Nostr Wallet Connect for the Cashew wallets.
Yeah, awesome. No, I like it. It's all coming together, slowly but surely. It's all coming together. Yeah, I'm excited about the eCash stuff. I didn't do too much with eCash yet. Like I one of my next projects is gonna be an eCash thing. Not sure what form it will take, but we're still underutilizing. Most of the things we have, we're still underutilizing, and so I'm trying to play catch up now and just. Build all the things that were in the back of my mind the last couple of years and kind of scratch my own itches. And one of them is, for example, I mean, one of the demos I love the most is InPub. I always wanted to have that, like positional audio, 2D world, bird's eye view, where you can just hang out and walk around and so on. Because once you have positional audio, it's so awesome. Like, I tell you what I want to do next for InPub. Because I run my own instance.
Yeah.
InPub, they're GG.com. So,
okay.
So, and a bunch of people joined and hung out already. It was really fun. Like, it's really cool. I'm going to make this my hangout place. And even if I have to vibe code every single feature into it that I want, I'm going to do it. It's too much fun. And so what I want to have in there is a jukebox in one of the rooms.
Yeah.
And anyone, the jukebox has an NPub, and to play something, you just zap the jukebox, and in the zap, you just put the whatever, the YouTube link or the name of the song or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just gonna play it, and it's gonna be like, I don't know, like 200 sats to play something or whatever. And it's just gonna play in the world, you know? Yeah. And it's gonna announce it on Oster that, you know, that it's gonna play it and so on. Like, it's you can make this a thing. And it's literally the original idea of a jukebox, like it's, you have to put in a coin to play a song.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about the way that InPub is built is that not only have you multiple rooms and positional audio, you can like the jukebox will be in one corner and you actually have to walk up to the jukebox to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like in the real world.
Yeah.
and so there's all these little things. And that's a very stupid example. I mean, the more obvious examples are what PaperQ are doing and what the Rouser guys are doing, where it's just, we want to move away from subscription hell, where you need to have a monthly subscription for everything.
Yeah.
And the way to do it is to attach eCash to your requests and to pay just with eCash directly. Like if I want to have a bottle of water at the corner store there in front, I don't need a monthly subscription. I just go, I give them
a couple bucks.
Well, many people are trying to build it out, Bill Gates and others, you know, like monthly subscription for everything. But anyway, so what are you excited to build with Wally and with eCash? What do you have? I just told you my jukebox idea.
Yeah.
I really want to build that. Do you have something like that as well?
Well, Toget is my jukebox where I pay it to keep playing.
Fair enough.
I really want the auto payments for Tollgates to go. And also Tollget have its own networks where you can just connect all your normal devices and it pays on your behalf too.
Yeah.
In the upstream. And I think in general the networking stuff I think is very interesting.
Talk to me more about that. Like, no DNS was a recurring theme this cohort. Like, basically trying to get rid of DNS, trying to fix the one point of the internet that's still terribly centralized and broken in some sense.
I think last year already, Sec3, I worked on a NIP proposal. It's like, what if someone self-announces on Nostra what their IP is connected to their NPUB? Basically.
Yeah.
But the problem with that was I included the I included the protocol and all kinds of other stuff that was not needed. Well, there were some posts I read on someone DNS for Sats. He posted about the doing SSL certificates over Nostr.
Okay.
And he used a similar approach, and then it suddenly clicked. It's like, oh, we need just the traditional DNS records. There's nothing wrong with those on Nostr. And then you can just do backwards compatible, in a backwards compatible way. You can still use everything that's good about DNS without the centralized authority.
You just don't need to be part of the cabal that runs the root key ceremonies and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
You just can run your own DNS server and just do all those things without asking for permission.
Yeah, and the trick is like domain name resolution is quite simple. You go out to a web server, so some web server on a random IP, Cloudflare or Google. You ask, like, what's this website? And it gives you back an IP.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that on your own computer too, and it's quite easy to configure, actually.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's why stuff like Pi-hole works and those kind of things,
ad
blocking
exactly
on a DNS level, right?
Yeah,
you have your own DNS server in your local network, and if something tries to connect to a known ad network, it's just gonna respond with, like, this IP doesn't exist.
Exactly. And so a Pi-hole would be perfectly fine running no DNS to resolve NPubs. And since you resolve it yourself, it doesn't matter which extension you use. We just picked .noster, but it could be any one of them.
Great extension.
Yeah. So we stick with that for now. But the more tricky thing is the certificates, because that's baked into the application layer a lot.
The browsers
the browser
are
checks.
Really anal about certificates and their authenticity.
Yeah, exactly. So it's often not even enough to trust it on the system level. The browser will still reject it.
Yeah.
Because it looks at the higher powers that decide what is secure and what is not.
Yeah.
Even though a self-signed certificate is perfectly secure.
Yeah.
But you need to share it in a way, which didn't have up until now.
In the browser's defense, the browser tries to protect you and tries to, But we want to go the opposite route. We want to allow users to shoot themselves in the foot if they want to.
Yes. but also there's...
If your social network, if your trusted people are so bad that they try to scam you with,
Then you should be allowed to, yes.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah. If you decide to hang out with this NPub, you trust this NPub enough send you a certificate. And
then malware opens on your computer.
Yeah. But for the certificates, of course, you need some extra checks whether someone's not self-signing google.com.
Exactly.
It to your certificate store.
My general point is just the browsers aren't necessarily super evil. There's a reason why all this stuff is in place.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
just like for our use cases, we want to do things differently.
Distribution was a problem.
Yeah.
You needed someone to look at to find the thing. And to be efficient as well.
Not only that, trust in general is a big problem. Like, who do you trust? And my mom has no idea who to trust to resolve a name or whatever. And so it is a big problem. And the easy solution is always to refer to a central authority, which is exactly what DNS does.
Or ask around.
That's what we are doing.
Yeah.
That's what we are doing. The very human and natural approach is. You walk around in your group of friends and you ask multiple people and you make up your own mind. That's the very human social approach. But the government / authoritarian approach is you have one central authority and that's the source of truth.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the difference between DNS and no DNS.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair summary?
Yeah.
All right, good. I think I got it. how is it working now? I saw some demos that already worked.
Yeah.
Tell me the current state of no DNS.
Well, it's still the same as in the demo. There's a CLI, and I saw someone working on a web front end to publish the DNS records.
Nice.
So basically, whatever you would do in Cloudflare, you can soon do in a web interface for your NPub.
Nice.
And just configure.
And accept. And the difference will be the DNS record is not going to be pushed to Cloudflare. The DNS record is going to be published to Noster.
Exactly. Yeah. And the resolvers will, when you ask for all the records. It will also give you back a text record with the signature and the timestamp of the original message, meaning, and in the same order, meaning you can reconstruct the entire Noster event.
Nice.
Just from a DNS response.
Nice.
And you can verify that it's actually true.
So Do you NIPO3 the things right now? NIPO3 open NIPO3. Timestamps?
No.
Because right now, if you don't, then the timestamps can be faked. And so to actually do this, you would have to...
You just need the timestamp to verify the signature, to rebuild the message and verify the signature. So if the DNS server lies, you cannot reconstruct the, check the signature. It's basically a different format. The DNS response is basically a different format of returning the entire Noster event.
Okay. But the usually the problem with this is like I can publish an event that has a timestamp in the future,
yeah,
far in the future, and that will perpetually override events that come after me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. But that's, yeah, fair. That's kind of the problem of the person publishing.
that is an issue. And yeah. And that's why there is no archaeology on data.
Yeah.
Pre-Bitcoin, doing archaeology on data was impossible.
Yeah.
Because data stands on its own. You never know how old data is.
Yeah.
You can't know. But Bitcoin fixes this, of course. Bitcoin fixes this because we have the time chain. And what Nippo3 does is it provides a very easy, very cheap way to have a proof of publication, a proof of existence.
Yeah.
And for what you described, to me, it looks like a natural fit. Like if you what you described is like a chain of events, basically, that updates a certain record or describes a certain...
Well, it's one event that has all the records. So
one event that has all the records.
Yeah, you just update the whole thing.
We're back on lists again? Is it like a following list?
Secretly a list. It's just record tags.
You heard my rant on lists, right?
Yes.
There's a reason why all the clients that do the lists wrong will nuke your following list.
Yeah, yeah.
So if one DNS client does this list wrong, it will nuke the whole thing?
Yes.
That's...
But it's...
I would reconsider that design choice.
Well, I think you get into speed issues.
Yeah, Jeff got that wrong.
If you introduce many events.
Okay.
Because DNS lookups need to be fast, because otherwise everything slows down by a lot.
Well, I'll let you guys figure it out. I said my piece.
I'll keep
but
it in
something,
mind.
Something to consider.
Yeah,
like that's one thing that we have and had for a long time. Open timestamps and Nippo3 we had for a long, long time, mm-hmm. and still insanely underutilized.
Yeah.
Like I think we should use it for way more stuff, because what it allows you is to build up indisputable history over time.
Yeah.
And for example, for like profile realness, like are you a real NPub on Noster? We don't use it yet. And you could just like periodically once a day, Nippo3 something, and then you have indisputable proof that's like impossible to fake that this profile existed at least for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Because timestamps can always be faked, but this stuff cannot be faked.
True.
And so that's kind of my overall point. Like let's use Nippo3 more.
Yeah.
I'm with Constant. Constant is a big Nippo3 shell. I'm too. So open timestamps is great.
Does it make sense for DNS records though? It changes all the time.
No, you just need the newest.
Historical record.
You just need the newest. It might be interesting for dispute resolution. It might be useful to see what was it in the past if you got conflicting responses and you don't know who lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would be one use, but you guys will figure it out. Like I'm not worried.
Yeah.
how does your approach differ from Tim Boma's approach? He also did a DNS thing.
Yeah.
Inspired by NoDNS, right?
Yeah. I think his would be more of a like an intermediate that can be resolved by traditional browsers like Brave, everyone who like uses the...
Let me actually drop my shoes, sorry.
Everyone who uses the normal DNS resolvers and certificates, because he still uses Let's Encrypt and DNS servers. He just does it on your behalf on a subdomain.
Okay.
So you can have like whatever NPub.
Okay, now I get it. So he's building what we built for Ensight. He's building the npub.pro version.
Yeah.
You know the difference between Ensight and npub.pro?
npub.pro, not familiar.
No. Not npub.pro just puts everything under one domain, basically, and Ensight is just you have to find your gateway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So similar difference. Okay.
He's like a DNS gateway.
Yeah.
He will just add records on your behalf.
I see. Okay. I get it. All right.
So it doesn't remove the trust relationship.
Yeah. No, he's really excited about it. He keeps hammering on it, and he just posted something where it's like he wish he could be part of Demo Day and like someone please run this command.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Let's see how all this goes. Like it would be awesome to rely on DNS less.
Yeah.
Like right now. If someone really, like we see it all the time in authoritarian regimes and so on, like the first thing if they want to mess with the internet is like, you know, let's
shut down DNS.
And then like most people are just out of connectivity. And this can hopefully help fix that in the long run. So that's the vision, right?
Yeah, and I think that was part of my Captain Week talk, is that, you know, Noster is organic, organic tech.
Yeah.
In the sense that I think the way data will flow through Noster, you know, the means of Noster and Blossom, is that it will flow more naturally instead of like the going out and fetch, going out and coming back, going out and coming back like we do now.
Yeah.
If you visit Amazon.com, you might be doing a round trip to from Europe to the US like 20
yeah.
times.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. And since we have the signed data, you can just pull it once local and everyone around you yeah. should be able to use that.
Yeah.
And I think this is like one of the things needed to make that work, because the more of these solutions you have, the less you need to do that going out to fetch and getting stuff. And so if we have DNS solved, then you would have to work on IP addresses to, you know, be able to get everything local. And then it doesn't matter if your connection gets severed, you can still reach everything.
Yeah.
It's like from a resiliency perspective, that's incredibly important.
Yeah. I talked with Hazard a bunch about this, and it's really strange that the internet evolved in that way, and we're now back to basically having mainframes and thin clients.
Yeah.
We don't even have personal computers anymore. It's basically like you have a browser for all intents and purposes, and everything is on the server.
Yeah.
And if you're offline, you're offline. Nothing works.
You're screwed, yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you use a native app or whatever. It's true for absolutely everything that people use. Like, it's true for yeah. Instagram, it's true for Facebook, it's true for Google, it's true for everything.
Yeah.
And kind of the vision we discussed and how it should work on the Noster side is like, you use Noster all the time for all the things.
Yeah.
Like, just your regular Noster client. Let's say you use Amethyst or what have you. And to be fair, like, we're not the only people talking about this and building this out. That's also the vision that Will had for NosterDB and NoTech and so on, where it's yeah. just like everything is in NosterDB and you just use everything. And if you're in flight mode, it doesn't matter. You just can still query the local DB.
Yeah.
So it's the same idea, basically. Just what we want to build out is just like have everything be relays and speak the same language, and there shouldn't be a difference. Like, there shouldn't be a yeah. like, if offline, then DB, if online, then relays. It's yeah. just like, it should all be relays.
Yeah.
And so Hazard and I spoke about this a lot. Let's just maybe wait a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it should be the same across the stack. It should be the same for relays. It should be the same for Blossom service. It should be the same for all this stuff.
Yeah.
And just the neat side effect of all of that is, just by your pattern of usage, the right data will accumulate in the right places.
Yeah.
The right
yeah.
data will accumulate, because you're usually, like, most of the time, you're going to pull out your phone and you want to look at something that you already looked at, or show someone, you know, like a little thing that you saw.
Frantically check that same message. The...
No, but you get what I mean. It's
yeah.
like, if you're literally in flight mode, if you're literally entering a plane,
yeah.
and you used Noster like the couple hours before, I didn't see my whole timeline. I didn't, you know, like,
no.
I just want to pull it up and want to maybe interact with some things, maybe read some things, reply to some things,
yeah.
like some things, accept some things, and so on.
Yeah.
You know, read a long form, make some highlights, make some notes, make some comments, those kind of things. And it shouldn't even matter if you're in airplane mode or not. It shouldn't even matter if you're offline or not.
Yeah.
Like, it really, really shouldn't matter. We have the technology already that it works. I'll show you today. You'll get some secret alpha
wink.
Today. And it's such a shame that we didn't build this out yet. It's such a shame that it doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a killer feature.
Like,
make every Noster app work offline, it is a big thing.
I think part of it is also because, and now I talk about like the things I'm interested in, but it's a binary. I think it's a binary because the local and offline online is such a binary now. Even though you have, you know, local IP address, etc., if you, you know, want to get something from around you, you need to like know the network. I think if we solve that, you get a gradient from offline to online instead of just this binary. So now
yeah.
you need to design for this binary. And I think that's what makes it harder. So if we have a system, it's hinting at like NPUB, you know, NPUB based routing, is then it becomes a gradient. It's like you might be able to reach some nodes around you
yeah.
without needing to know about NATing and like having to reach public IP addresses.
Yeah. You're on the network
yeah,
stack
yeah.
now.
You
yeah.
can't reach anything
yeah,
other than
yeah, yeah.
for sure your local device
yeah.
or the internet, like
yeah.
or far away outside of your country,
yeah.
basically. that's the two choices that you have now, realistically.
Yeah, yeah, sure. For on the high level Nostr perspective, it shouldn't even matter, because also, like, that was always true for Nostr on the relay side. If a relay goes offline, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
And we saw that actually practically that's true. And I always bring up this example because it's such a great example. The Damus relay is one of the biggest relays and Will wiped it multiple times in the last 1.5 years alone, you know?
Yeah.
No one cares. It doesn't matter. And so relays can go in and out of existence, just like Bitcoin nodes can go in and out of existence. And from an overall systems perspective, that shouldn't matter. Nothing should happen.
Yeah.
Users shouldn't even feel the difference, basically. And that's true. We know that it's true because we have multiple data points where big relays went offline and got wiped and so on.
Yeah.
And so from a very, like, going like 5 levels higher than what you discussed on the network stack, just adding local relays to the mix, or even like quasi-local relays, like relays in the same Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Like community relays. It doesn't even matter if you're connected to the wider world. If you can reach the relay, it's just all the same. And those can also go in and out of existence, right?
Yeah.
It's like when I'm in my, like, and to be fair, many things that we have already from the legacy internet stack work like this already. Your Google Photos uploads or your Apple Cloud uploads. Most of the time, the setting defaults to if you are in specific Wi-Fi, or if you're in an unmetered Wi-Fi, then upload all the heavy stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's the same idea, where it's just like, if you're in the home network, you will be able to connect to your home relay, to your LAN relay, and then just sync all the things there, like push all the stuff there, rebroadcast it to those relays and so on.
Exactly.
And I think it should be relatively easy in the sense that we have most of the puzzle pieces already.
Yeah.
And I'm specifically not talking about no DNS and the low-level network stack and so on.
No, you can do a lot of it already.
I know that's a different conversation and more tricky and so on, but I really want to make a push for local relays and like home-run relays. That's why I really also, I mention the same things every time. I'm going to mention it again. Build the things. Nostr Relay Tray, for example, is great. Nostr Relay Tray is fantastic if you want to run a relay on your machine. Package it nicely. Let me run it on Umbra. Let me run it on Start9. Let me one-click install it on all the things.
Yeah.
Same for all the other relay things. And the Blossom things.
Yes.
And the mints. And who is going to run the mints?
Everyone have their own mint.
Yeah, why not? Make it super easy for people to run mints.
Yeah.
And make it super easy for people to earn some sats. They're going to run it.
Yeah.
There's always some crazy Russian guy that's going to run the biggest mint and just earn, like, you know, 5 cents a day.
Yeah. I think now, especially if I look at how much money real sats we lose in eCash all the time. if you cycle the keys,
there's money to be made here, people.
Yes,
someone can. If it's your mint, you can scoop up the sats potentially.
Yeah, don't think about fees. Just think about all the change people drop everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, I dropped several euros at once, multiple times. So Minibits is going to be happy when they cycle.
But I don't want to be the, you know, old man angry at clouds or telling kids to get off my lawn. It's actually, we're in a great spot and all this stuff is actually being built out and coming together quite nicely.
Yeah.
Like just the amount of development that happened on the eCash front is like amazing. Just Cashew alone, what was shipped there just in the last 1.5-2 years, it's insane. And I feel like it's accelerating now that people...
Yeah, like you can pay your LLM models with eCash and build more eCash on top of that with
with that you can vibe code more stuff and make it easier for everyone.
Try doing all that shit with databases and username passwords and like poor security on those with
impossible.
You can't do poor security with keys, but it's a lot easier to make a secure app.
Yeah, absolutely.
On Nostr.
Tell me about your current vibe coding setup and what you learned this cohort. Last 6 weeks, intense vibe coding sessions all day, every day. What changed for you in terms of your setup? What are some things that you learned? What are some things that you maybe tweaked a little bit?
I put some effort into using some more MCPs, getting better at pointing at a documentation, like the...
Let's
getting,
rest here
getting
a little
the
bit.
Right, getting the right context, pretty much.
What did you use for the MCP servers and MCP tools?
The code snippets. Like, I think that's a big one. Because Hazard with Applesauce, he publishes the code snippets, and that just makes it 100 times better to develop.
He should publish more, though. I have bullied him, because the thing I'm going to demo today, I built on Applesauce as well.
Yeah.
And now that I have to search, I can just do like is code by Hazard, and I will get all the snippets, and I can just feed everything in.
Yeah, there's not that many snippets yet.
And Pablo stopped publishing snippets as well. I'm not sure what happened. but in general, that's also something we have and we should utilize more. But how is your setup looking? Are you using RuCode or?
Yeah, I use RuCode, mostly with Claude. Spending
too much money?
Yeah. It's I treat it as a cheap employee.
Yeah, you use like 4.5 came out, I don't know when it was, a week or two ago or something?
Yeah, just switched to it yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
It's very agreeable, actually. It's I feel like they made it more agreeable, where I would say something, I could rile it up and could start a revolution together.
Let's go.
I had some experience when I did that, like flame emojis.
I saw the screenshot. I was like, fuck IPs, we don't want IPs. And they're like, that's right, fuck IPs.
Yeah, and then it even added, like, in all the loggings, like skull emojis, like, fuck IPs.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And so you have, what do you use to pull in the code snippets?
I first had, I'm not sure which one I'm using now. I first had Pablo's 10x tools one. And then Hazard code.
I'm amazed that someone set it up. It's like I was convinced only Pablo is using 10x.
No, it was possible. Yeah.
All right.
And
because Jesus also built a lot of MCP stuff, you use something of his toolset?
Not yet. I need to put more time in it. I did do an experiment, like, okay, how does this work? And just made a LLM agent myself in one of the first weeks.
Yeah.
It's actually surprisingly simple how the agents work. It's just like a loop and they call tools, and the tool can be another agent. That's literally what RuCode does. I just thought it was way more complex than it actually turned out to be.
That's what Justin showed off, where like build your own coding agent.
That's like what I used as a basis.
How simple it actually is.
If anything, people should not be intimidated by LLMs into like making their own kind of agent loops and experimenting with that. The coding agents are one thing, but I can imagine there's a dozen other things that would need their own like kind of loop or orchestration that are, geared towards another task than just coding.
How far along are you in your vibe coding journey? Are you still looking at code? Are you still manually editing stuff sometimes, or how is it looking? Are you still writing tests?
Test? No, I still sometimes. I feel like I do look at like the methods and like which methods and which arguments it's using, because that's usually, I still feel like I'm the engineer in charge. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly like when you first set up a project and you can kind of let it go mostly, and then monitor it if it goes off course.
Do you start building straight up, or do you go through a agent and human planning phase before?
Planning phase, definitely. Okay. I done several where I would like get a bunch of markdown documents, then go outside and just read them for a while and make notes on them.
Okay.
And then put it through it another time, refine it.
That's the photo you posted where you were on the beach with like a Kindle-like device. Is it the daylight computer?
Yeah.
Reading through markdown plans.
Exactly. That's the way I want to be planning. It's just sitting out in the sun.
Nice. Very soon you will be able to do that in a purpose-built Nostr client, doing Nostr native highlights and annotations that works offline.
Hopefully.
So we're going to improve the beach UX drastically, I hope.
Beach compatible apps.
Exactly. No, that's awesome. I learned a lot. Like my stuff changed quite a bit. I still have to explore some of the more, I'm still a very naive vibe coder. I don't use multi-agent flows yet, for example, like having concurrent agents. Justin does it, and Pablo, of course, does it, and so on. And yeah, I had lots of macros, and I learned a lot.
Do you feel like you're missing something still?
I would say yes, in the sense of my dream would be.
Yeah.
My dream would be to use Wingman, basically, what Pete built out.
Yeah.
Which the idea is basically you just have your phone and you have a computer somewhere else that is running all the things, and your phone is the interface. And my dream would be
just texting,
not even texting, just speaking.
Yeah.
And just be out and about, because I already do that, but now I record voice memos for the Vibeline.
Yeah, it's one directional.
Yeah, it's one directional. And I wanna, in the best case, Wingman really works really well and it's bidirectional, and I just wanna, because right now I'm vibe coding on the side.
Yeah.
So I take care of the kids, I do work, I do chores, I do whatever, I go shopping, and I just, you know, a prompt here and there, and then I let it run for 5 minutes, and I come back and do another prompt and so on. It's very multitasking, asynchronous, yeah, my workflow right now. And the only downside is that I need to have my computer with me somewhere.
Yes.
And so hopefully in the future, I want to have Paul also built something great, or Paul and Justin, I don't know who it was, but basically a vibe check agent that constantly runs on your project and just makes sure that your coding style and all the project rules are followed. Like, make sure that the files are not longer than 150 lines or whatever, all the lint checks pass, all the tests pass, all those kind of things. And just,
if not, auto fix it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's what I want to have. And again, my interface should be, I'm just wherever. Everything is deployed, so everything is live. So I can look at it on my phone. And then I just speak a voice memo into the phone. Fix that button, make it work in the other way, like add this feature. I've been thinking about, I don't know, like doing this and that and so on. And just hit send. 20 minutes later, I look at my phone again and it's different.
Yeah.
That would be my dream flow.
Perfect.
And we're very close to it.
Yeah, there's a couple more tools that need to be integrated for this to work.
Pablo's 10X can already do it, because his basis is kind of, or used to be, the Vibeline.
Yeah.
And if I would build two or three more plugins, I could probably do it myself as well, just using the Vibeline.
Yeah.
Because all I would need to do is kick off Rucode automatically and then auto-commit, auto-deploy, which is very easy. It's just auto-commit and auto-git push. So we're almost there. But that would be kind of my dream scenario, which is of course very peculiar to how my life is structured.
Yeah.
Most people probably wouldn't like it.
I think the screenless part is something that's underutilized.
Yeah.
LLMs, I see them, they do more, but I see them as a different user interface.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though you can do like a lot of backend stuff with it, of course.
Yeah, I mean, Pete showed this clearly with the WhatsApp thing he built with Beacon, and just the LLMs are the interface, and that's why you can add it to any chatbot. Like, you can implement it into any chat system as a chatbot.
Yeah.
Because the interface is just natural language.
And that's why the only limitation probably still to have like the conversational one is just processing speed. To do that, like, output natural language.
I don't even need it to be that responsive, like in the sense of it doesn't have to be that quick.
Yeah,
it's similar to, like, there's various modes of conversations that we could have as well.
Yeah.
Like, in the best case, we have a free-flowing instant conversation like we're having now.
Yeah.
A degradation of that is if we send each other voice memos, which people do all the time, which is just like a phone call but asynchronous, right?
Yeah.
And the other one would be text, which is most LLM interfaces are text chats now.
I think what I would want is basically Siri that works.
who wouldn't want that?
Yeah.
But it's a very specific Siri.
But I think we're very, very close to that.
Yeah.
And that's where I think probably, a couple more months and they're fast enough to do that.
Do you use any especially trained models to your likings, like for your, I don't know, like vocabulary or for your past work incorporating those kind of things?
I haven't strung them together enough yet. That's what I would try to do with the Book of Sand demo, where, you know,
I didn't see that, unfortunately.
Basically automating that, what you talked about with the daylight computer, to leave notes as just text or voice memos actually on the document in Obsidian.
Yeah.
And then the LLM picking that up.
All right, yeah, same.
Like hitting a button, picking that up, going to work for, but then more freeform than the Vibeline is.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it will scale because it's maybe too flexible.
Yeah, it's the right idea. I do that now as you do, like manually more or less. Like I will have certain ideas and so on, and I write the prompts down.
Yeah.
Or I speak them, and then I have to go back and like copy and paste them manually, and I just fill up the queue.
Yeah, and what I did is like add the basically the system from the agents, define them in Markdown inside the vault as well, so you can add agents on the fly
and
have a triage agent just selects the best one to do the task.
Nice.
And the experiment is like, okay, how effective would that be to manage a project or a shopping list? And, but it did veer off a little bit too much, and I don't really have a good environment to host it.
Okay.
So I need to get back to that.
Yeah, I see. That's what I like about the Vibeline so much. You don't need an environment to host it. It just runs on your machine.
Yeah. Well, my issue is like I have my laptop with me when I'm on the beach reviewing my documents.
Ah, yeah, that's an issue.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah, so it needs to be server-side.
It's very peculiar for my life setup because I have my laptop, you know, like standing somewhere, sitting in the office, and it's just always online and so on. So, or like that's... Again, like, you know, you have to, but that's the nice thing about all the tools we have now and the vibe coding capabilities that we have. You can actually purpose build the things exactly how you want to have them and exactly how you need them and how you would build it out.
Yeah. And if you see something nice from someone else, you can just like, you know, clone the thing, drag it into a reference folder and say, do that plus this.
Exactly.
And then, you know, now Kith is like...
Yeah. That's how Ants came to be, how the search came about. I basically took npub.world plus noster.band.
Yeah.
That was it.
But
that was
the
main
idea. I think that's how software is going to evolve into the future.
It's crossbreed.
Yeah, basically.
Evolution.
Yeah. I don't think merging back into an original repo is going to be commonplace.
Interesting idea. Yeah, I do agree for certain things, like for
not everything.
Yeah,
like some, you know, primitives.
Yeah,
you'll probably have humans involved all the time.
Yeah.
But for these kind of apps, I think it's just like, you know, take these two, combine them.
Especially on the Noster side, the way I see it, every client should be like a lens on the Nosterverse.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if that term was coined before, probably, but I'm just going to use it a bunch now because I had this shower thought, like how I should name a certain button. And then it came to me, it should be called, like, you want to explore the whole Nosterverse because global isn't true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like whatever relays you're going to land and so on and so forth. Like there is no global. Always, that will always be true in Noster. There is no global. But there is a Nosterverse.
Yes.
And so...
Does time run at different speeds too?
again, back to timestamps can be faked. So yes, I guess. But every client should be a different lens on the Nosterverse. So you might have a client... That's, you know, like Twitter-like. And then you know how it's going to look like. You might have a client that's like IMDb-like, and it's just for movie reviews, and that's how it's going to look like. You might have a client that's just for long form, which we have all that, obviously, already.
I think anything that comes, like, if you talk about, you know, the dream of the metaverse that people have had for forever, I think Noster is probably the thing that comes closest to it.
Yeah.
Because you can make NPub... And probably anyone can latch onto it.
Yeah, you can very easily pull in certain data types, right? Like we have this massive wealth of signed data in Noster now, and more is produced like every second of every day.
Yeah.
And it's right now it's just like mostly, you know, tweets, so to speak. And but this will increase as more clients and more use cases are being built out.
We're still in the phone book on the internet phase.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And what I think is so nice is that all these little clients, because we like, I love, for example, that your app settings are stored on Noster and you just log in and the app looks exactly like you have it set up.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. It's like the Chromebook had this idea as well, right? You like, you throw away your computer, you get a new one, you log in, and everything is exactly how you want it to be. And so we have the same now. just on like without the, you know, omniscient, omnipresent hell 9000 like overlord that is Google. So
the skin, last faces, and
exactly. So that's awesome. We're like, you know, like we're more than halfway there. So I'm very bullish on all that. It's just like I keep coming back to the same mantra that the future is already here. Basically, we just have a lot of building to do. It's first of all, it's not evenly distributed. Of course, like most people don't know about this stuff. Most people don't use this stuff. And second of all, it's still very imperfect. And we're going to build it out kind of, you know, scratching one itch at a time. And there is no other way. Like, you can't dictate how it's going to go. You just need to bring more people in, explain it right to them. And then they will have an itch that they want to scratch. And they are going to build a little thing for Noster. And then we have the little thing. And we can use it.
All the things that also are not economically viable. I think you've mentioned it several times in the cohorts. Like little converter tools that you use like once in a while.
Yeah.
It's like you look up a QR generator online and it wants to sell you a QR generator subscription.
You have to watch a 50-second ad, like a 2-minute ad to generate a fucking QR code or whatever. Or to convert a JPEG into a PNG or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't always have like image magic on my device with me.
Quite often I feel it's just let me pay you.
Exactly.
Let me pay you take care of service.
And coming back to the eCash thing, that's like, I mean, it's a chicken egg problem. Like most people don't have eCash yet, most people don't have wallets, most people don't even have Bitcoin yet, you know, like it's like insane. But just for us, I would build this for myself and I would charge myself 21 sats for every fucking image I want to convert or the little things I need to do all the time. And like, we're going to get there. And in the best case, those things are like basically Noster bots or whatever, you know, like very, very easy to use, very easy interfaces, all those kind of things. And you shouldn't even manually have to pay them or SAP them. It's just going to be, I have spending money in my Noster Wallet Connect or in my Cashew Wallet Connect or in my NIP60 wallet or wherever. I have money somewhere and just pay the thing. And here is your allowance for stupid little tools. It's like $5 a day, I don't care.
Yeah.
And just go. And we're gonna get there. Like it's gonna take a little while. Should we walk up? It's gonna be probably horrible for audio quality because we're gonna huff and puff. No, it's like but it's a very nice view on top, so.
Okay. I just hope my microphone's not bouncing too much.
That's not the issue. The waves and the sirens and the you know, leaf blowers are the issue usually.
I haven't heard too much of it so far.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how bad the audio is.
I think you mentioned in the last episode that leaf blowers, you filter them out. I don't.
No, the wind gets filtered out by the microphones nicely, but there's many other sounds that the microphones pick up, like pick up more than your ears and brains pick up the sounds. And so there's a big difference of how it feels in real life and how it is on the recording.
Or someone listening is just very good at filtering out the voices of the recording.
I mentioned this when I think I talked to Justin. It's not a... You have to get high-quality headphones to listen to No Solutions.
Yeah.
So it's not the poor man's podcast. Yeah. You have to... You know, the Bitcoin rich get the nice Bose headphones or something, and then you're gonna have a good time.
Yeah.
But just listening in the car, it's harder.
I bet there's probably things that do some good noise canceling if you have like a third microphone strapped on behind your backpack to filter out background noises.
Yeah, potentially. No, but usually it's actually not that bad. It's just I'm. It's literally the only hate mail we get is about the audio quality. So.
That's not too bad.
All right, almost there. Whew. But it's such a nice day.
Yeah.
So how was the whole experience for you? I mean, you kept in the week. You are a repeat participant. Uh-huh. Repeat captain even. And like, how was it different than the other cohorts? And kind of, what's your take on sovereign engineering in general?
I feel like the tools that have been built in the previous cohorts are coming together more, like in coherent solutions.
and they're being understood more as well.
Also, yeah, you know, eCash and Blossom are kind of de facto standards to use. And well, one thing I thought was really interesting is the mapping stuff.
Oh yeah,
because all the open source map stuff is like, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And I really feel like it's starting to pick up where people are now starting to make maps on Nostr that actually seem, they look pretty nice. And it solves the problem of any mapping app not having the data.
Yeah.
Of course, you still need to build the data sets, but at least you only have to do that once.
Yeah. And there is pre-existing data sets from OpenStreetMaps and so on, and the task is just to
port it,
create Nostr events, and put the tiles on Blossom servers.
Yeah, because the thing that makes me come back to Google Maps is...
Can you hear the huffing and the puffing?
Yeah, yeah.
See, I told you.
That's what you get from sitting behind a laptop for 6 weeks, despite being on an island with mountains.
Sorry, I interrupted.
We still do hikes.
What gets
you
back to Google Maps?
It's the community. It's just the community part. It is the traffic, live traffic data. If you want to navigate somewhere, road closures, all that.
Yeah.
And for businesses, it's like the pictures. Show some pictures from the inside. What does it look like? What's the menu?
Yeah.
Very basic stuff. Reviews. Yeah. Reviews, maybe not even too much. But if you have those on Nostr.
Yeah, interesting. So what you're saying is the social part is what makes Google Maps way more useful than its alternatives, like OpenStreetMaps or what have you.
Yeah, it's not that the the other maps are not missing roads or street numbers or even satellite imagery. Yeah. All of that is there.
And so Nostr can provide it easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point.
So maybe really someone can scrape all of Google Maps for us and put it on Nostr.
We just have to, you know,
we start from scratch.
Make them earn sats for every data package and they'll do it.
Yeah.
Look, the pirate ship. Yay, our logo.
Yes.
Ah, oh, that's nice.
So the 24th cohort will be on the ship.
we were talking about doing it on the cruise ship, actually, on a big one.
Yeah.
And just develop some things on the you know, on the open seas, outside of any jurisdiction. I'm not even sure if it would work that way, but just as a meme, kind of.
Thought experience.
It would be fun. But yeah, who knows? I mean, that was the fifth cohort, last day. Yeah. Last day. Yeah. We'll have the final demo day in. You have the time?
Yeah.
I'm afraid to pull out my phone because otherwise the recording will stop.
2 hours.
All right, last demo day in 2 hours thereabouts.
Yeah.
So, and then that's gonna be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fifth one in the bag. So, yeah,
no,
I think, again, I have the feeling that we are on the cusp of all the things more or less just working and coming together. For many things, we're already there. Like I talked about it, I think on the boat, actually, that if I want to check whether my phone is online or not, I just refresh my Nostr client. And because there's so much activity going on in my feed, because I follow like 1,000 people, that like every second something new will pop up. And so it's the quickest way for me to check whether I'm online or not. And that tells you something. I don't do anything else anymore. Like if that doesn't work, if nothing new pops up, I'm probably offline.
Yeah.
And
it feels so good to not log into legacy tech anymore.
Exactly.
Like no two-factor apps in the same way. It's just,
no, you know, I pretty much exited the system in my daily life. I don't need any kind of other stuff anymore. Nostr replaced my online life almost completely. I'm still on GitHub a lot, but we are getting that fixed as well. Like Git Workshop and other things, it's getting there. Like Fiat Jeff recently ported all his stuff to Nostr-based Git.
huge props to Dan for the Grasp servers.
Yeah, Dan Conway.
Which is...
Sovereign Engineering alumni.
Yeah, yeah. No, but, you know, the initial version still leaned on, like, traditional Git servers, and then you get into the identity problem, and now it's full on Nostr, and it works quite well.
Yeah, yeah. Well. I still have that ahead of me. Like, I didn't pull the trigger yet, but I will. Like, I'm gonna. Like, I didn't even pull the trigger on my long-form stuff yet, but I'm gonna do that too. I'm gonna build my own client to do it. Or my own tools at least.
Yeah.
But it's all coming together and like piece by piece and step by step we're gonna make all this work. Like the payment part is obviously a big one, like just making payments
easy.
Incredibly seamless for everyone and everything. And if you are set up, they already are. Like Nostr Wallet Connect is a great thing, and it works really well. And if you're set up properly, again, like I think Primal was a necessary step as well, just shipping with a wallet and doing the light KYC, all that kind of stuff, just to have people understand that this is where we want to land on. This is how it should look and feel, basically. Just one tap, zap, no setup basically required. And now we are very close on a pure self-hosted Freedom Tech site to have that as well. And eCash is going to play a big role, and all these kind of things. And this will, like, the reason why I mentioned this right after we talk about Git and Git Workshop and all those kind of things is because there is a reason why GitHub added the support stuff as well, just Patreon for developers and so on, you know? But that's all still cucked, of course. You know, first of all, you have certain limits because everything runs on fiat payment rails. You have to fully KYC on both sides.
Yeah.
And it's all, you know, like they take massive cuts, just like Patreon. I mean, I keep pointing that out because most people don't know. Patreon takes like a 33% cut or something. It's like completely insane. But also, they're not evil inherently. They have a massive overhead.
Yeah.
Just with credit risks and KYC risks, all this kind of stuff.
They have to do. Like still at this moment in time, I think they are still better at the integration points. But I think Nostr is overtaking it quickly. You know, Git Workshop.
Oh, they're definitely like getting set up with Stripe is so easy.
Yeah.
And we're not there yet. But I can already taste it.
Yeah.
Like we're very close. We're very close to stuff just working. And all the other things are being figured out with, I mean, you know, like you have to, the trust models have to shift. And that's what we are currently seeing, where someone will have to run the mints. You need to trust their mints. We have multi-nut payments, so you don't have to trust one mint fully, but you have a set of mints that you quasi trust and you move funds around and so on. And we're very close to all that working. And once the amazing thing about eCash is, of course, it works offline. It's incredibly fast, it's incredibly private, it's incredibly programmable. You can't be rug pulled in a targeted way. It's like either the mint goes away completely or everything still works.
And I think a good milestone, like a intermediate milestone, is when it feels more cumbersome for devs to use GitHub than use NGit.
Yeah.
Go Nostr.
Yeah, native. And even before that, it should. If you want to build something, you should want to build it on Nostr, like independent of where the Git repo is and so on. And I think we're already there.
Or the LLM will just suggest it to you. Let's use.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one because that's actually a testable one.
Yeah,
that's
I heard people actually have that experience.
Wow, that's awesome. Because building a bot that does something, like post a random picture online, I think the easiest way right now is Nostr.
Yeah.
Everything else you need to handle API keys and sign up and do stuff and so on and whatever, and then an API breaks
open
and something
ports.
Changes and exactly. And on Nostr you can just like go. It's literally like one line in a cron job.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do, and I think that's the superpower, that it's very. Once you get it, it's very easy to reason about. It's incredibly resilient. It's very easy to develop on.
Yeah.
And like as we march on, the stuff will just get easier and easier and easier to build up on. It's just like we need to get better as well. Like I'm a bad example. I've published zero code snippets so far, but you know I also
same.
I'm only vibing, so my stuff is probably not as useful as Pablo's or Hazard's stuff.
Although Hazard was bullying me into publishing code snippets on how I was using applesauce. So.
But we should make our own lives easier. But I think also that can be solved. It would be actually an interesting exercise to tell an LLM to go through an existing code base and extract code snippets out of it.
That was actually our plan to do.
That would be useful. Just not only tell me, but tell the world and make it reusable.
Yeah.
And extract the most important stuff and so on. Yeah, all right. I'm pretty out of steam. Any final thoughts, final words, other things? What do you hope for the next cohort? Are you still interested in participating?
For sure.
Absolutely. Are you burned out when it comes
also
to summer
burned out. Also burned out. I need a vacation.
But we knew that this would happen. It's a very intense 6 weeks. Like that's you need to recover from a cohort always. But we're thinking about, I told you already in private, but we're thinking about doing shorter ones potentially and doing some things a little bit different. But what's amazing to me as kind of my final thought is in the beginning, we didn't know what we were doing with Sovereign Engineering, and kind of we had a vague idea and so on. But it's really working, and we really know what we're doing now. Like, we know how to help birth ideas, and hopefully the right ideas, and actually, like, birth new freedom tech on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And we do it. I think we do it really well. Like, it works really well.
Yeah. I think to get back to the question, what I hope to see in future ones is integration of the different solutions. Like, we had a bunch of parts in this cohort that, if we bundle them together, are just killer ideas, like killer systems. But that takes time and focus. Like, you can't go off every week to do something new to make it a coherent piece.
Yeah, that's actually, I discussed it with Jo briefly. So what we want to do next year is do like a 6-week one in summer, and do 2 small satellite ones in spring and fall. And we were actually discussing doing a 2-week focus on something, 2-week targeted, not even core, like a ship-a-thon, not a hackathon, not a build-a-thon. Like, you actually, the goal is to ship something that reliably works at the end of the 2 weeks. And to your point, I think that's very much missing, like bringing all the little pieces together and going the last 5%, which is the hardest kind of. Yeah, no, I like the idea. Let's see if we can make it happen. Yeah.
I think Sovereign Engineering has it in it.
Yeah. We can do it. It's and people will realize over time that Nostr is more than, because I think it's so funny. Many people think that Nostr is just for saying good morning and saying good night and sharing some memes and shit posting and so on. And most people have no idea about the stuff that's being built out.
Yeah.
Like, right in front of their noses, like under their noses, in front of their eyes. But we are still very bad at talking about this stuff, of course. And we got better this time. We managed to publish a couple of videos for the stuff that was built, and like put the demos in video form and just blast them out. So we want to do that more. We want to do more of that as well. But yeah, to me, it's very exciting that the stuff is actually working. People are excited. And what I felt happened in the last 2 cohorts in particular is that the very diverse group of people, like people of all different ideas and backgrounds and so on, they start coalescing around the same ideas.
Yeah.
Which tells me that the ideas aren't complete dog shit. They are like, there's something to it. If multiple people agree, even people that don't like each other and are disagreeable and so on, if they agree that's the right idea, then you have something. And that has happened both in the last cohort and in this one. And that has me really excited, because that means that some of the things that were just completely crazy ideas like a year ago, 1.5 years ago, the people get it more now, and stuff is actually being built out. And I think we'll have to leave it at that, because they come and arrest us. We talked about Blossom too much.
Yeah.
We didn't even mention torrents yet. We're gonna make torrents great again, by the way, as well. Like, that's gonna be one of the side quests.
Yes.
One of the future side quests. All right, fantastic.
All right. Amen.
Yeah, it was great to have you. Thanks so much for captaining the ship again for a week. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for entrusting me.
We're gonna do it again next time. All right, big hug.
All right.
Final snip, in case the audio fucked up. And let's see if the phone ran out of battery or not.
We lost half of it.
We probably did. No, it's still good. It's still going strong.
Okay.
Perfect.
Don't hit the X.
Oh, no. Safe.